Tonight's Walking Dead recap is sponsored by True Car. When you're shopping for a True Car, it can often seem like you're dealing with the saviors. You just want to get a fair deal, but you don't know where to turn. That's where True Car comes in. Because when you're using True Car, you can easily find the car that you want. If you want to feel comfortable that you're getting a fair price, you need pricing context, information that empowers you to feel confident. With True Car, you can see what other people in your local market pay for the car that you want. Say you're looking for a car in Alexandria, you can find out what Father Gabriel is paying for a car, or anybody else that I don't even know who else lives in Alexandria, but if there were other people that live there, you can find out what they're paying, so you know that you're not getting ripped off. From there, you can connect with a local True Car certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Once you register, you get to see real pricing on actual inventory. That's competitive pricing offered to you only by a True Car certified dealer for an actual vehicle on their lot. It's pricing you'll see before you go to the dealership, so you can feel confident when you show up. True Car has sold over 3 million cars and has over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available, with the average customer saving over $3,000 off of MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. The Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 15 is over, but we're just getting started here on The Walking Dead Recap Show here on Post Show Recaps. And now here are the two guys who are always very aware of any non-hypoallergenic situations. I'm Rob Cisterino here in the studio with Josh Wegler. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing really well. Are you allergic to anything?
Oh, yeah.
Really? What are you allergic to? I don't think that I know anything about your allergies.
Cats.
Are you really allergic to cats?
Yes.
How are we such good friends?
I don't know. Well, I don't hang out at your house.
No, I guess
ever,
not. I guess not. Yeah. My father's allergic to cats. I didn't get those genes.
Oh, well, you're lucky.
I've got these jeans, you can see because I'm in the studio with you, and you can see that I am wearing jeans.
Yes. Alex Kidwell is still traveling back to L.A.
So he's not here?
Right.
We're sure about this? I've just come to assume that Alex Kidwell is in the room during all podcasts.
He may just jump out and scare the bejesus out of us.
Just like my natural assumption is that if a podcast is coming from your direction, Alex is secretly in the corner somewhere.
Not to my knowledge. Back here.
Okay.
But he will be back for the finale next Sunday night.
Yep.
As we're all set. All our ducks are in a row.
Mm.
Very excited for the Walking Dead finale next week after this episode, Josh.
After this episode, not just because it's the end of the season and you're excited to get there.
Look, that you know, we can sort of nitpick little things here and there, but I think that these last few weeks, and I think that this back half of the season of The Walking Dead has been pretty fun, all things considered.
Yeah, I mean, I'm having a great time on the podcast for sure, and I think I was really high on last week's episode when I was talking to Alex. I thought it was a pretty good episode of The Walking Dead, and I said it was one of the better ones of the season for sure. Just you know, thinking about it right now, it's always so tough to do it just on the knee jerk, having just watched the episode. But I don't know if I would say that this episode was better than the week before. I think it was of a piece. And one of the things that Alex and I were talking about when we were talking about the show last week was that it kind of feels like we're in like that movement of the finale, where last week really felt like part one of like a part three finale, which is why I really liked it. Like, it gave us some real forward momentum going into the final stretch. And I thought this week continued that. Like, I feel like we've been like in like a finale over the past couple of weeks, and it feels like it's building to a head. And I guess I wish that some of this stuff had happened quicker, earlier in the season. But it's happening now, and it's pretty decent. You know, it's fine. Walking Dead's totally fine right now.
Yeah, and I think that this whole back half of the season, I think that, you know, we could certainly like pick out things like here and there.
Like
and,
the carnival.
There was some excitement there, to be sure, and the garbage people I've been very vocal about. But again, that
me
I
know
feel like that we're working our way towards something, it feels like. And I couldn't tell you exactly what that is. Where I feel like, okay, last season I felt like we were just like everything was leading up until you knew Negan was going to show up.
Yeah.
And then they didn't even give you that at the end of the season. This,
at
I feel like,
in full form, yeah.
Right. Then we're working our way towards something, but I can't tell you what's going to happen next week. I don't feel like I know exactly how this is going to play out. So,
confrontation, you just don't know how that's going to go. Like, you know that something is coming to a boil here. We know what Rick is angling for war. It sounds like Negan has caught wind wind of what's going on. So confrontation, but how that confrontation falls out, we've got no idea.
So I'm very interested to see how it's all going to play out. Of course, this past week, I was on the road. We didn't get to our Walking Dead feedback show. We will be back on schedule with a Walking Dead feedback show, although it may be swapping out Josh Wigler for Alex Kidwell midweek. So we'll see if they'll have the schedule ends up working out.
The tail end of Walking Dead this season is going to be a little bit wonky on the scheduling side, but we'll make it work. Okay. Everything's going to be fine.
But get your questions in for us. Email twd@postshowrecaps.com or postshowrecaps.com/voicemail. And looking forward to hearing your pre-finale thoughts.
Now, that all being said, what did you think of last week? We didn't get to check in with you at all about your opinions on last week's episode. It is essentially a Sasha and Rosita roadshow. So I think if you were betting sight unseen without hearing a single thought coming from Rob Cesternino, that doesn't sound exactly like the most exciting billing in your world. How did you enjoy last week, or did you not enjoy it very much?
No, I really did. I enjoyed everything.
Yeah. Cash him inside.
I liked everything going on. I felt like it was a very tense situation with Simon showing up at the hilltop, then with Maggie and Daryl locked in the basement.
Did you like that the guy yelled at Enid for not saying vegetables?
Mm-hmm, sure. A little too much Enid for me. She's really in my, like, my power rankings of the least favorite useless characters on the show. Enid is very high
pretty
up
high,
on that
pretty
list.
High up, yeah.
Right. And then I thought that everything with going on with Sasha and Rosita was interesting. I thought they had some very fun, like, conversations back and forth.
Best Rosita episode ever for you? A bounce back for Rosita, or we're gonna pump the brakes a little bit before.
I guess a bit of a bounce back that she wasn't just one note. But then when we saw her tonight, I thought she was back to just being like super pouty.
Really?
The whole thing.
Oh, I thought that she was very helpful. I got the sense that she's turned over a new leaf.
I'm talking about tonight.
Tonight in
tonight's episode, she just looked like
she literally is just standing there. What is she gonna do? She's just got a pouty face. What are you gonna do?
Yes.
Does it turn anything for you now that you know that Christian Serratos is a Survivor fan, according to Johnny Fairplay?
Not really.
No,
not too much.
Yeah, she listens to any of this. She's not coming on the podcast.
Yeah, she'll be cured of that foolish obsession very quick.
Yeah.
So that I thought that was a fun episode last week. And I thought, yes, as you mentioned, a good setup for what's coming up this week.
And what did you think of the way that that episode ended? That episode is building up towards Sasha and Rosita going on this mission. And Sasha's really the one who's championing for, you know, we'll take a shot from a distance. Maybe that gives us a chance to get out of here. That's not going to work out. Rosita and Sasha decides to go in. Sasha decides to go in on her own, and she locks out Rosita and refuses to let her go in on the mission. Did you like that setup? Do you think that that puts us in an interesting place?
It was weird because in the episode, I thought that really Rosita was signaling that she would be the one that would be fine with the suicide mission. And Sasha was the one talking about like, well, let's use the sniper rifle because if we go in, then we have to come out. But then I felt like it was a very sudden turn for Sasha to say they need you.
Yeah,
I'll go and take the suicide mission. And I wasn't quite sure if the show gave us enough explanation why Sasha made that decision. Did you feel like that you got that?
Yeah, I felt like I got the show's version of it, at least. Definitely a little yada yada, but I do think that like they got to the point where Sasha and Rosita were talking about how, you know, the biggest reason why they were bummed about Abraham going out the way that he went out is because he would have wanted to go out with a point. And they were also talking about how Abraham had finally found happiness in Alexandria in the form of Sasha, and Rosita has had to come to peace with the fact that at least Abraham was happy and he figured out his crap before she's been able to figure out hers. And I think Sasha chooses to honor Abraham and to go out with a point and not only just, you know, make some damage, you know, make some impact against the saviors by going in by herself, but also maybe paying it forward a little bit by letting Rosita have enough time to go back out there into the world, figure out why you're really here, what are you supposed to be doing, go out with a point. So I think that that's sweet. I kind of like that. I think I've always gotten the sense that Sasha has liked Rosita more than Rosita has liked Sasha. So I think that that's a fun dynamic. You have to assume that that's very possibly the last time these two people are ever going to see each other.
Yeah, you have to think so. You and I have talked about that. We think that Sasha is going to meet her demise.
This episode is helping that out.
This episode certainly helps advance that cause. Now, speaking of yada yada-ing, that they definitely yada yada'd the Sasha capture. We saw Sasha.
No budget.
Yes, run into the sanctuary, Leroy Jenkins style.
Leroy, what are you doing? Ah, damn it, Leroy.
And this week,
Sasha!
Jenkins.
We yada 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 to her being captured.
Yeah.
There was sort of a story of a bunch of guys surrounding her, tying her up with rope.
Yeah,
she doesn't look much worse for the wear.
There's a lot you could do with rope, apparently.
Yeah.
According to Ropey Dave. I'm sorry, I think I got his name wrong.
Yes.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen that. I think that could have been a really cool cold open, you know, instead of getting kind of like the tease of the waterlogged walkers we're going to be going up against here when we go back to Oceanside in this episode. Yeah, that would have been fun, especially if we're starting to think like maybe Sonequa Martin-Green is not long for The Walking Dead anymore. What a great scene that could have been. But I also do think it's kind of fun to think about, like, how far did she get? Like, what happened in there? Like, I think like the fanfic you can do is kind of fun as well. And just that final shot of her Sasha Jenkinsing her way into the sanctuary was pretty good. It's really funny. That's a great take.
All right. Since we're talking about Sasha, let's pick up her story where that we have Dave comes in being very forward, very aggressive, yeah. Total turnoff.
Yeah.
And then Negan comes in and ends up killing that guy. Does the show want us to like Negan? This seemed like that the show is really sort of saying, yeah, Negan's not such a bad guy.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Negan, he's got a million wives who do not seem to want to be his wife, and he bashes people's brains in, but he stops short of rape. So now we have to like him. You know, like, that's the thing. I don't know. I don't know if we're supposed to like Negan. I think that the show's relationship with Negan has always been really confusing. You know, sometimes they just present him in the most menacing way. He just nonchalantly orders, like, Olivia's execution for no real reason. But then there are moments like this where, like, he steps in and decides, like, okay, this is over the line. This isn't happening. So at least you're rooting for him in that moment because you don't want to see anything like that happen to anyone, let alone Sasha, someone that we care about on the show and someone who, you know, seems like she's on borrowed time. So I was glad that he stepped in there. But at the same point, Negan then proceeds to, like, go on this, like, recruitment spiel with Sasha. And we've seen him do this before. Where he, you know, has every reason in the world.
He has one pitch.
You know, he's got, like, every reason in the world to, like, execute the person who has caused so many problems and so much damage and is a dangerous person, and yet he just, like, wants to recruit that person
yes.
every single time.
Really, he just reaches out and says, you are a troublemaker.
Yeah.
You seem like you really want to kill me.
I like that.
I like that. How would you like to work for Negan?
Yeah, for Negan. Yeah, and, like, he seems to expect that it's going to work out, and it rarely does, or at least with, like, our characters. Like, none of these people
worked out with Eugene.
I guess it did work out with Eugene. I guess I have to start, you know, even last week, I was trying to talk to Alex about this. Like, is there still some room? Is there still some wiggle room here for Eugene? Is there any way that he is playing a con, and we're just, you know, we're the ones being suckered? But based on his conversations with Sasha, seems like
I like that. Yeah. No, I do. I like that
Eugene
the show,
is all in on Negan. Yeah.
I really admire that the show did this with Eugene. That yeah. I feel like that the show's like, oh, of course, Eugene didn't really flip to Negan. They're not going to make Eugene sell out the gang.
Yeah.
And no, they kind of did.
No, they kind of did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of, he's straight up Eugegan. Like, he's in, he's all the way.
And I appreciate that because I feel like that's a very human thing too. Okay, look, I was scared. I have to do this. And it was just so interesting that in last week's show, I think that my favorite thing about it was when
they come to save him. Yeah. And he's like, no, I didn't ask for this.
And he, like, becomes like the old Eugene. Like, we see him, like, playing this persona of, like, chief engineer Eugene. And then he sees them. He's like, no, get out of here.
Yeah.
I didn't want this. That's not what I want. So he's very comfortable there and he doesn't want to give that up. And he's scared and he is enjoying his time here with Negan and the Saviors. And so I really do like that he is conflicted. And he's saying to Sasha, hey, come on. It's not so bad over here.
It's not so bad. They've got kettle chips.
Yeah.
You know,
pickles.
They've cardamom gelato. You know, they've got a good amount of stuff. It's pretty okay, actually.
So I want to talk about Sasha, where her request that she makes of Eugene, of she is saying to Eugene she wants to off herself.
Yes.
Now, she did have that opportunity with the knife. She did not,
sure,
she
sure.
Did not take it.
Sure, she doesn't take it there, but she doesn't know yet at that point that she is possibly going to be used against Rick.
Right.
Like, at that point, I think Negan has already come in.
Not a lot of foresight on Sasha's part to
maybe
think
not.
Where this is going.
Well, Negan comes in, he kills Rapey Dave, and then he tells Sasha, like, you should join my cause unless you're here because Rick told you to kill me. And she says, like, she, like, comes up with some some story on the fly.
She's like, Rick, you mean your bitch?
Yeah, you mean bitch Grimes? You know, like, she's like very,
oh,
like, yeah.
Oh, I like that.
That's good.
That's good. Yeah, so, like, she's already.
Can,
like,
I use that?
Yeah. Next time I see him, I'm going to call him bitch Grimes. So I think that she thinks that, like, maybe she's, you know, she's at least hidden the fact that Rick is working on his own uprising. She feels like maybe she's covered that up. But then Negan comes back in and says, a little birdie told me.
Who?
That's
who
a great
told
question.
Negan?
Great question. Who knows? Did Eugene snap? Like, what would he have known? He wouldn't have known of the official plan for all he knows.
Know, other than that he saw Rosita also, and that means that there's others coming.
Yeah.
He did say something about, like, their, you know, there. I think that I forget his exact words, but he said something like, oh, there's other people.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who it would have been unless, I mean, I don't know about the pacing of the episode. Has Gregory, like, embarked on his mission toward the hilltop, toward the sanctuary at this point? Is he already there? I don't know, but it seems I may have to break Mole Patrol out of retirement.
Oh, yes.
I may have to look and see who's the snitch.
There's a mole among Rick's group.
Yeah, quit snitching. Yeah, I don't know. Who could it be? Who else is the little birdie?
Enid.
Could be Enid.
Yeah.
Could be Father Gabriel.
No,
look, if
no,
Eugene
no, no, no.
was willing to snap this easily, and he was a stage two badass,
mm-hmm.
are we ready to say that Negan could turn Father Gabriel, probably?
I don't think so. They can't make us this dizzy with Father Gabriel.
So you think that Father Gabriel is more of a badass than Eugene Porter?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. What a turnaround
well,
for Father
if a badass
Gabriel.
Is like loyalty to Rick, that's the criteria.
Got it. But what about the garbage people?
The garbage people, they could be playing both sides, yeah. I think. But going back to Sasha, she's in the cell. She asks Eugene, I need something. I need to off myself. I don't want to hurt my friends. And Eugene ends up delivering the pills to her. But at the point where she's talking to Eugene, she has a smile on her face.
Yes. Yeah. During the conversation where we don't see her for most of it and we're mostly on Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, thank you. Right. And she has like this weird expression on her face.
What's she up to? Should we be taking her at face value or does she have some other plan?
I don't know. I mean, she was asking for, like, very specific stuff. She was asking for a knife, a gun.
Yeah, you need to get me something. And she says, thank you. And she's, like, really, like, beaming about this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she was asking for weapons. And then when he comes back with a set of pills, like, what is she going to be able to do with those? So I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if she was up to something or not. Or if she's just kind of delirious because what a way for her life to end, like, in slow motion.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that this is how we lose Sasha, that she takes some sort of suicide pills.
Why can't you imagine that?
Is that a hero's death?
Yeah, if she's trying to kill herself so that they can't take her alive, you know, so that they can't use her to go against Rick. They can't use any of her information. They can't do anything like that. If she takes herself out of the equation, perhaps she saves Maggie. She saves everyone at the Hilltop, everyone in Alexandria. And I think whatever method she chooses to remove herself from the equation, you could view it as heroic.
It just does not seem like a death fitting of one of the principal cast members of The Walking Dead, where it's not something that, sure, she is preventing something potentially from happening, but she's not like in the moment where, you know, like it just does not seem like that decision is going to save lives like directly.
So what happens to the pills?
I'm not sure. Does she try to slip them to Negan? Does she try to do something with them, like as an offensive weapon?
Yeah, like, so maybe she was like, bring me a gun, bring me a glass, bring me a knife, whatever.
Give me anything I can
and
use.
And then Negan opens up the cell and she just goes for it. Like,
right.
She would have just gone and tried to kill him there as like a Hail Mary. But now that she has these two pills, like, maybe now she's like, can we like celebrate our new partnership over like a gin and tonic or mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah. Again, the pills, we're going back to that episode, are enough to actually kill Negan. So it's like the Negan dose of poison has been given now to Sasha. And I do feel like that we're going to see her attempt something rather than, I'll be very surprised if it's just, you know, straight shot. She takes the pills. She kills herself so that she can go ahead and, just prevent whatever Negan's trying
to
do.
It's a good call. I like it. You know what I didn't like? I didn't like that the pills came in a Ziploc bag. bag. What happens to the Ziploc bag? They're going to find that Ziploc bag on her. There's evidence.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Do you think that Eugene is going to end up being on the outs with the Saviors once this ultimately...
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how this... I mean, how does this come back? You know, if she dies of poisoning and like it's very clearly that she like poisoned herself, or if she has the pills and then Negan's like, who gave you these pills?
Yeah. I mean, I think that all signs are going to point to Eugene. Well, He's the only person smart enough to do it.
And
he's
the wives can point to him, too, if they need to, if that comes up.
Right. He was in the jail cell with her, that they go back. You know, I think that there is a very clear trail back to Eugene.
So what happens if Eugene is discovered in that regard? I mean, we just saw what happened to Rapey Dave. Negan has no problem killing his own people. Would he kill Eugene, let alone, I mean, he threw a guy into a fire. He threw a doctor into the fire, so it wouldn't even be the first of his own doctors that he'd kill.
But by Eugene's own admission, he said that he needs me more than you guys. That's why he'll believe me. So I wonder if that Eugene might be given the opportunity to redeem himself.
Or to spin it, potentially, even. Like, maybe he can come up with some sort of lie that would be believed.
Right. Like, Eugene might get some time in the hole, but I feel like that to get Eugene, he could get the easy street treatment.
Speaking of, are we upset that Sasha wasn't subjected to Easy Street?
I was hoping we would get that.
She really got off on Easy Street by not having to listen to Easy Street. If Eugene is cast out by the Saviors, will Rick welcome him back with open arms, even though he betrayed him? Or is Eugene SOL if this whole situation with the Saviors goes south?
He might need to earn it.
Yeah.
He might need to earn it to get back in Rick's good graces. But we've seen Rick with Father Gabriel, so I think that there is at least a track record that Rick can forgive and forget.
And you're not sad at all about the fact that Eugene's trajectory was he became a stage two badass, he had Abraham's blessing, he drove the RV, he says in this episode, like, those were the best 36 minutes of my life when I was driving off into the sunset. And now all of that, is it just gone? Like, have we just lost all of that character growth for Eugene?
I don't know if we've lost it, but I feel like that it is a very human thing to not necessarily have some sort of like straight line of character growth. I think that you could say he was feeling that way at a certain point, but then he lost confidence, but he's gained confidence in a different way doing this. So I really like that they've made the character of Eugene so complicated. I think that it's a problem with this show. Everybody's a good guy.
Everybody wears
the white hat. Everybody, you know, nobody has any negative character traits other than they care too much about the group. So there's too much of that on this show. So I like that we have somebody who has complicated feelings about, you know, self-preservation. And I feel like that Eugene is a very interesting character in that way.
If Father Gabriel had done this, we'd be on here reaming him. Like, we'd be so furious with Father Gabriel. You know, I'm sure that there are other characters too. Like, if Carl, for whatever reason, though it's hard to picture why he would do that. But if somebody else had turned, you know, you could see the argument for being really mad at that character. But it doesn't seem like we're very mad at Eugene. Why aren't we? Is it just because Eugene's great and funny and so we like him?
Eugene hasn't really sold out the group.
Yeah.
I mean, he got captured. He didn't tell Negan, I'll never join you. He wasn't like Daryl when Negan's like, who are you? Like, Negan's like, okay, fine. I'm with Negan now. Yeah. That's fine. That he's not doing anything to help to hurt the group. We saw Father Gabriel, that Rick took him in. Rick took care of him. And then Father Gabriel went to Deanna and say, Rick Grimes is a bad man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He needs to go.
Yeah.
And we were like, this guy is the worst Father Gabriel. And then he didn't really, all of a sudden he just had like a change of heart. And I don't really exactly know what happened to Father Gabriel. So they just sort of like a light switch,
right?
Where I don't know necessarily if the changes about Father Gabriel were totally earned, but it's fine.
That's fine. Father Gabriel's much better now anyway.
Yeah. All right. I want to talk to you about Dwight, because I thought that was so interesting that he shows up here at the end of the episode. We don't really know why. We last saw him back at the sanctuary following reporting back to Negan that the doctor had been in cahoots with Sherry. And now here is Dwight unexplained at Alexandria.
So... I mean, I guess now I have to go back and rewatch last week's episode because it ends on a curious note. And at the time, I don't remember us making too much out of it, but in my mind, I thought it was kind of just like a weird final image of Rosita runs away. Sasha's in the sanctuary now, and she's very upset, Rosita. And then she turns and sees a silhouette of a guy who's across the way. And it looks like Daryl Dixon. He's got a crossbow over his shoulder, it seems, has shaggy hair, but he's completely covered in shadow and you can't see the dude's face at all. It also comes fairly quickly after Daryl storms in on Jesus and says something like, "Where's Sasha and Rosita?" Mm-hmm. So you just, the natural assumption is that that is Daryl in the silhouette, and I never even questioned it. Going back on it now, thinking back on it.
Yeah, I gotta take a look at that.
Thinking back on it, that's Dwight. That's Dwight right there. Dwight is the guy who Rosita sees across the way. The case for that is made by the fact that Daryl was on the Oceanside mission, does not seem to have anything to report back on the Rosita and Sasha front, so he had no idea, so that couldn't have been him. That was Dwight. I guess there's multiple crossbows? I don't know. You know, I don't remember there being two crossbows, but maybe there's two crossbows. Either way, Dwight made the turn last week and we just didn't know it. And I think if you were to think back even further and you think back about everything that happened with his wife, with Sherry running away and everything that he went through there and being willing to get Dr. Carson thrown into the fire and everything there, I think you can start seeing like the move towards betraying Negan. And even that final scene of that episode is Eugene and Dwight like looking out over the sanctuary courtyard. And Eugene, who entered this episode not as Negan's man, is now Negan. And now in retrospect, maybe Dwight, who began this episode as Negan's man, is no longer Negan's man.
Yeah. So what is Dwight up to? He's just joining the resistance?
Well, that would be like the hopeful interpretation of it, is that like he's coming here and he's like, yeah, I've seen enough shit. And like I've been through the Savior's dance for long enough that I'm ready to make a move. Like this guy's taken everything from me and I can help you. And Negan believes in me completely. He killed his own doctor at my word.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great. That would be very helpful for our guys. Then again, there's no guarantee that Dwight is really doing what he's saying he's doing. It's entirely possible. Yeah, I think that the show has actually done a pretty good job at playing it where you're never really entirely sure if Dwight is like satisfied with his egg sandwiches or really bummed out about his egg sandwiches. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you can't tell if he's really like, I don't think that he's ever thrilled. I don't think he's ever happy. I don't think that he's ever really content. But I think that there are times when you think he's on board with his situation and there are times where it really looks like he's not.
I just don't know what he's up to. I feel like that if he was going to just want to get a clean break from Negan, I don't know why he didn't just do that after the Sherry incident, and why he came back, framed the doctor, and then left. I mean, Sherry was already gone. I'm not sure why the doctor needed to take the blame for Sherry's departure,
right,
unless he's going to be some sort of a mole for the group and then go back to Negan and then be part of, like, complicit in an assassination attempt against Negan. I guess that that would be some satisfactory act for him after everything that Negan has put him through, having an inside person. I do feel like that sort of, like, would be earned if he was one of the co-conspirators that ended up going ahead and making some assassination attempt against Negan.
Yeah. Or just like dismantling the thing from inside. Like if he is a lieutenant, you know, he might not be Negan's top guy. That feels like the Simon job. But, you know, if he's in the circle, if he's pretty close to being, you know, in the inner Negan circle, then he is somebody, if he's truly, you know, if he's truly repentant about everything that he's done here, and if he truly wants to make amends, that's a really valuable guy for Rick to suddenly have on his side. The question is, can we trust him? Considering he shot Denise in the face with an arrow, I totally understand why these people aren't inclined to trust him.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that ends up coming to a head.
It's interesting, though. Yeah, I think it's a cool final note for the episode, and let's see where that takes us.
Yes or no, do we see Sherry in the finale?
No. I'm going to say no. I feel like there's too much other business.
Yeah, I don't know where she is.
I think gone.
I mean, we've sort of like thought maybe she could have some sort of a run-in with Oceanside or run-in with the Hilltop, but none of these other communities seem to, unless she's one of the garbage people now, there's been no sort of like anybody seeing her, so it doesn't seem like we have time for that.
I'm not mad at that. I'm totally fine.
Is it a supersized finale? Do we know?
I mean, it's going to be supersized in the sense that it'll probably go for an hour and a half, and it'll probably be like, what, like 50 minutes of episode time at best?
Perhaps.
You know, it's going to be like 16 different commercials at least.
Yeah. Okay. Next week's episode, interesting, called The First Day of the Rest of Your Life.
Wow. Who is that going to pertain to?
I mean, listen, if
this is it, if it's like if Rick and Negan are going to like just lay it out there and we're going to fight, we're going to do this thing, you could see like some sort of like Braveheart speech, right? Like you could see like Rick giving the William Wallace.
I could see it also being something that Negan says to somebody, yeah. like, "Oh, trust me, working for me, this is going to be the first day of the rest of your life." How does that sound?
It's got to be a line that's going to be in the finale, unless it's a line that's already been on the show. You know, the show loves to do that. Nothing, it's not coming to mind immediately, but it's not impossible that it's already been done. I mean, that's what isn't that the name of the season premiere was The Day Will Come When You Won't Be, and that was a Dr. Jenner reference, I think. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Some Walking Dead historian will have the answer, I'm sure.
All right, I want to talk about Oceanside that you and I, since last fall, had joked around about, okay, when are we getting the Tara standalone 90-minute return to Oceanside episode? We did get that, I think, in a lot of ways. We got that probably in the most painless way.
Most merciful possible. Way possible, of course.
It was not a standalone episode. You and I think, are both on the same page that we are not really captivated by Oceanside.
Not in a huge way. I mean, listen, I understand why Natanya's so upset, but chill out. This isn't worth getting killed over. You know, just let Tara take some guns and let some friends go if they really want to go. Just get over it.
We really did use up a lot of energy, though, and manpower in terms of getting the jump on Oceanside. A very elaborate plan with explosive pyrotechnics.
Well, we do. I mean, what are people lacking guns? They've gotten dynamite. Like, their dynamite situation is fine. So this is probably a drop in the bucket.
Yeah. Tara ends up going in and holding Natanya and Cindy at gunpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you shipping Tara and Cindy? Does this seem like a thing that maybe the show's trying to do?
It does seem like a thing.
I like that. That's cool. If that's where we're going.
Yeah. We have a big standoff with Natanya.
Yeah. Still love that name.
Who is holding Tara hostage.
Is Natanya the best name that's ever been on The Walking Dead? Or is it Jadis? Jadis might be better, right?
Yeah. Jadis is
Natanya,
is up there.
Natanya, Negan, Jadis. Like, we're not on Earth anymore.
Yeah.
Like, this show does not take place on the planet.
You're right. I don't know if these were last names or what, but people have like taken like, on new
they took the opportunity
apocalypse names.
Yeah, they took the apocalypse as an opportunity. Like, I'm just going to completely reinvent myself.
Yeah, we do have Fat Joey still.
Oh, no, we don't. He's long gone, sadly.
I guess that was a season 7 thing.
Yeah.
But so we ended up with sort of like this big standoff, and then we had the waterlogged walkers show
up. You
like
that? Did you enjoy that?
I did feel like that they were a little bit out of nowhere.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the first scene of the episode is, you know, like these waterlogged walkers just like stalking towards the camera. And I think that that's meant to be like, and it's getting juxtaposed with like all of our guys like getting closer to Oceanside.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that was supposed to be like them reacting to the explosions, and that's supposed to be the setup of why they just like kind of show up when they show up. But yeah, I mean, look, Walking Dead rarely goes an episode without like some sort of needless walker set piece, right?
Yes,
like that's
yes.
just the way of it. That's the way that it goes. So if they're going to at least give us some cool walkers as a result of it, I guess how mad can you be?
They look cool.
And they also, I think that, you know, Greg Nicotero must have finally realized, like, you know, our waterlogged walkers are really where it's at. Like, there was the return of like the big, like obese waterlogged lady earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a cousin of the well walker from season 2. I don't know. Maybe there's just something about making these juicy walkers that they just can't resist.
Yeah, they do like that. And so we ended up with this standoff where Natanya finally gets like cold cocked by Cindy.
Yeah. Wow. How about that? That was pretty intense.
So they're going to take their guns. And now we finally have enough guns for this mission. Are the Oceanside people like, is the rank and file of Oceanside, are they in on this too? Or are they just borrowing their guns?
No. So I think this is how it played. You know, Rick basically announced, like, no one has to get hurt. We're just, you have something we need. We're going to take your guns, and that's going to be that. Or you can join us and you can fight with us, and we can do this together and definitely win.
Mm-hmm.
And Natanya is so thumbs down on that. And it seems like a bunch of the other Oceansiders are down on that as well. But a few of them, including Cindy, wanted to fight. But she says, like, it's got to be all of us or none of us. I don't know why that has to be the rule.
Yeah, it's weird that, okay, that the garbage people, we need them. We need their bodies. But Oceanside, we don't necessarily need them as people, but we do need their guns.
Yeah.
Seems like we could just take the people from Oceanside and then just cut out the garbage people altogether.
I think that that would be a great choice for so many reasons. Like, I can't believe, like, I'm having to consider, like, You have to pick one.
Considering we've never seen the garbage people like as marksmen or anything, like they can like form a circle.
Yeah,
I guess that's like a target, like
that's
a bullseye.
It. Yeah,
but we know really nothing.
We've no
about
idea.
Them.
But whereas we've got the mythology of the Oceansiders is that all of their husbands, fathers, brothers, sons,
right. They
were all murdered, and then these people snuck off into the night with a huge armory and have lived off the grid this whole time. And we've also seen them in action with guns, although they couldn't shoot Tara.
Yeah,
so maybe that's an indictment. So I don't know. I mean, like, you got to choose between the Oceansiders or the garbage people. I think that I would rather us have the Oceansiders on the show, which says a lot about the garbage people.
Yeah, garbage people also, I think it's hard for them to sneak attack anybody because you kind of smell
them.
What's
that smell?
Yeah.
That doesn't smell like a walker, but it smells bad.
Yeah.
What do you think? Are we done with the Oceansiders, even though they said that they're not going
to...
That's it? No more? No. It's going to be like... What's that scene in Lord of the Rings when Aragorn shows up and he's got like the ghost warriors with him in the 11th hour and they really save the day at the Battle of Gondor? I feel like that's what's
that little
happen.
Girl gonna kill
yes,
one of Negan's
yes,
guys.
Yes, yes. They're gonna come charging over on a pirate ship and they're
I
just
I think we're good with
over.
Oceanside at this point.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, then we're never getting Cindy back on the show. That was for nothing.
No, Cindy is gonna be part of the group.
Okay. She's gonna join
she
the group.
She could come on as Tara's new love interest.
Okay. I think the Oceansiders, we're not done with them. I think that they're gonna be like an 11th hour addition to the crew.
Yeah, Natanya comes riding in. I changed my mind.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, she's going to be charging in like William Wallace. It's going to be great.
Yes, she's going to say, listen, this is the first day of the rest of your life.
Yes, that's right. Oh my God, your Natanya is vaguely Jillian-esque. I like
it. Yes. Natanya time. Let's go. Let's talk about Gregory and Maggie, because this is getting very interesting.
Yeah,
this coup d'etat. First off, is there any superpower in the Walking Dead universe that even comes close to Maggie's green thumb?
Well, her last name is Green, so it's only fair that she has a green thumb.
Yes. Boy, I mean...
Runs in the family. She's a farmer. What do you want?
Yeah. Maggie is just farming away, and they are... everyone is just like goo goo gaga for Maggie, and like, oh my God, she can grow seeds?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I was going to say, I mean...
What a planter.
I know that you really relate to Eugene in the current situation, but... Beyond Eugene, would you say that you relate to Gregory the most of everybody on The Walking Dead right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, Maggie's like, all right, we're going to make these plants over
you've been
here.
Very, you've
like, put a tarp on that. Like, oh my God.
You've
like,
been,
she should be the leader of all of us.
You've been,
please.
You've been Gregory for at least a season and a half at this point of like, Maggie's the leader of the Hilltop? Really? Yeah, you've not been buying that.
Right. She can grow plants.
Yeah.
Well, she should also...
Be in charge of our democracy.
Be in charge of us. Secretary of Agriculture? No. She should be our new leader
all
of
right.
the Hilltop.
Well, we could go there, but... I don't know. I think it was a good, it was a really good scene between the two of them out there on the field. You know, I love Xander Berkeley, love that actor. Anything he does, he's always gold, and he's been really great on The Walking Dead. He's a great addition to this cast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a Xander Berkeley character, too. Like the total coward. The guy who is all talk, and his talk is incredible, but he's just talk. He's all bark, no bite. To the point that like he's never killed a biter, he's never killed a walker.
Mm-hmm.
Like he insists that he has, but then he finally goes to do it.
He is well dressed.
He's very well dressed, but he can't. You know, he says like I came out here to protect the pregnant lady. I'm not going to let the pregnant lady protect me. And then ultimately, he does need the pregnant lady to protect him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great character. I mean, he's a total skeez.
Yeah.
He's just like the sleaziest sleazeball. But
here he is out in the field with like this plot to pull like a Julius Caesar on Maggie.
Yeah, it seems like. I mean, he's got the knife out. I don't know. Is this March? Is this mid March? This episode, is that what it takes?
I mean, it was like 11 days ago.
Yeah, so I guess it's close enough.
Yeah. A2 Gregory?
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know where that's going. I think clearly Gregory has been worried about the situation in the Hilltop for a little while. He was worried about it as recently as last week when he expressed to Simon, like, I'm a little bit nervous that, like, you keep, you know, taking shots at us the way that you have been. If you, like, take my doctor, I'm going to have no control over these people. And who knows who's going to be the next person in charge.
Simon brought the creative aspirin.
Yeah, he brought him. Did you love that? The gigantic treasure chest of aspirin.
Yeah, that was great.
And he drew him like a very quick map of like, here's where I live. Come find me. We'll drink tequila. We'll talk it through. I don't want you to be so stressed.
Mm-hmm.
So Gregory's clearly been chewing on that for a bit, along with the aspirin. And he is now ready to do that. By the end of the episode, he's looking at the map. He's drinking some tequila. And he calls in Cal, not Kel, and says, we're going to need a ride. I'm going to need a ride somewhere. Pack a bag. So it seems pretty clear that Gregory is ready to snitch out. I think he's ready to narc out on Maggie at this point.
I am going to call something. I don't know if there's been a lot of talk about this, but something is going on with the tequila on The Walking Dead.
What's going on with the tequila?
There's a Chekhov's tequila. Mm. That the tequila is way too prominent in all of these scenes. Now, I don't know if the pills at the sanctuary end up being part of like some sort of tequila toast that we end up seeing, but I'm telling you that there's so much focus on the tequila. Going back to last week with Jesus, I was like, oh, did Jesus poison Gregory? I mean, there was so much focus on the drink that we were seeing Gregory have. This week, again, you know, he's filling up the glass. He's drinking. He's filling up the glass again.
Yeah.
The conversation between Gregory and Simon last week about what do you, you drink gin? No, I drink tequila now. And just, you know, something ominous is going on with Gregory and tequila.
Interesting. All right. Nightmare scenario. I'm ready to paint it. You ready?
Maggie has a drink and she's pregnant and there are complications with the pregnancy.
I mean, that's pretty bad as well.
Yeah. She should not do that.
All right. So Gregory is going to go to the sanctuary. He is going to accept Simon's invitation for a sit down over tequila to open his heart and explain his problems and everything that's going on there. In the doing of that, Simon will report back to Negan that Gregory's here. You should come in here. We should talk it through. Further conversations will reveal that Sasha is here. She's from the hilltop. Let's get her to corroborate a story. The four of them will be in a room together. Tequila will be involved. Maybe Negan's drinking. Maybe not. At least Sasha thinks that Negan might be drinking. She slips the poison into a glass with the tequila in it. Unfortunately, Simon drinks it instead.
Oh,
Simon dies. Negan can tell that she was just getting assassinated. He was trying to get she was trying to assassinate somebody. And then either he thinks Gregory did it, and so he kills Gregory, or maybe he correctly identifies Sasha, and then he kills Sasha.
So I could see it being where Sasha puts the stuff in, like she got, like Negan like brings her like to his quarters, and he has the tequila with Simon, and then we end up seeing like Gregory come in and like, oh great, tequila, and he pours it, and then he ends up drinking the tequila, and Gregory dies, and then Negan is like, ah. Ha!
Yeah.
Nice try.
Yeah, you did it. And then you're toast.
And this is how stupid Gregory dies.
Oh, that's a sad way for Gregory to die.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose Gregory or Simon, but I could see how that would work.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, Gregory ends up like throwing like Sasha under the bus, or like she's one of the bad ones. And Maggie is there. Or maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe he like is going to reveal about that Maggie is there.
Yeah.
But definitely feels like that there's some sort of like impending conversion of Gregory, Sasha, tequila and pills.
Yeah. Well, look, we're waiting for the shots to be fired in this war between Rick
Shot
and
glass.
Negan. But who knew? It was actually just going to be shots of tequila that get fired up.
There's something else that I thought was kind of interesting in this episode. The episode is bookended by Carl and Enid having a conversation.
Do you want to walk back the word interesting?
Yeah, well, I don't know why it's there. I don't know why this is happening.
Curious.
So that we see at the beginning of the episode, like second episode in a row, we start Walking Dead with like a montage of like a bunch of different stuff happening. I thought it was more effective last week.
Definitely.
I like the montage better of like everybody training at the hilltop. But in the montage this week, we have Carl talking with Enid, and there's a question that Enid asks Carl, do you ever think about who you killed?
Yeah.
And we don't really hear Carl answer it there.
He's like, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever, Enid. In the end of the episode, or towards the like last 5 minutes of the episode, we see Carl and Enid, and Carl like finally like gives us, hey Enid, remember a couple days ago you asked me that question?
Here's my answer.
Here's my answer. It's not just the ones I killed, but also the ones I didn't kill.
Yeah.
Well, where is this going?
I just think this is like this is just like classic, like, esoteric Walking Dead bullshit. You know, Walking Dead, you know, this is when I'm not happy with the show. It's like when they try to toss out dialogue and like really powerful, meaningful stuff that just everything rides on what he has just said. Like something that, I don't know, the Walking Dead writers room was probably really proud of.
They're trying
of that
to make
moment.
It seem deeper than
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it's just like, who cares?
Who's
like,
somebody that Carl didn't kill?
I don't
Negan?
Know, the governor, Negan.
Everybody?
Yeah, like the claimers. He didn't have much to do that day. Mm-hmm. You know,
He did get Dale killed.
You know, he's gotten people killed before, for sure. Maybe he was like, I didn't actually directly kill Dale. I probably should have done that since I got his guts ripped out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that stuff. I don't know. Just another excuse to just bag on Carl.
Yeah. That Enid, do you think that there's any sort of a focus on her?
Any sort of a focus on Enid moving forward?
Or do you think that she just exists to be some sort of a future love interest for Carl?
Yeah, I think, a future and present love interest, I think. I think that she's there kind of as, you know, if Sasha's out of the picture now, I think that she's, you know, one of Maggie's tight people. I think she's one of Maggie's close confidants. I think it's going to stick that way for a while. I don't see the show getting rid of Enid anytime soon. Like if we were to do like an 11th hour penultimate episode death draft going into the finale, I don't think I would draw Enid. I think Enid's in season 8 really safely.
She's safe.
Yeah.
She's safe. She's going to be the second lead in
season 27.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Judith.
She's rising up in the ranks.
Yeah.
Okay. We really haven't touched on Rick very much. Certainly he was part of this big Oceanside caper. And then at the end of the episode, he was the person that confronts Dwight. His final words to Dwight in the episode, he tells him to kneel.
Wow. Yeah, he says, get on your knees.
Yeah.
Yikes.
What is going on there?
Yikes. I don't know. The last time knees were involved in Dwight, it was a bad...
Not good.
Bad situation.
Not good.
I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah. I don't know what Rick is trying to pull here.
He's King Rick. He's like, pledge your fealty to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know why Dwight would need to kneel. For a pretty solid episode that I think even does end on like a cool twist of Dwight showing up, just like a weird final note.
Yeah, I think that it's also a interesting bookend. I'm pretty sure that Walking Dead season 6 episode 15 ended on a Dwight cliffhanger where Dwight shoots Daryl at the end of the episode.
That's right.
And it's sort of like an awkward thing of like within like the red like goes over like oh wait, I shot him, but he'll be okay.
Yeah, this is not as bad as that.
No.
That was atrocious.
No, I don't even think this is bad. This is just
it's
like
just a little weird. It's a little
just
strange.
Weird. Yeah. You know, that's every 15th episode of the season needs to end on something having something awkward having to do. With Dwight.
As long as Dwight's on the show, I think that that's going to be the tradition. Yeah.
Does Dwight survive the finale?
Yeah, I would think so. Do you think so?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
Interesting. You got to imagine he's got to survive long enough to find out what happened to Sherry, right?
Mm.
And if we're saying Sherry is not coming back until season 8 at least.
Yeah.
I think this is an interesting dynamic and story to throw into the mix of potentially one of Negan's closest guys being a traitor, being a turncoat on him. I think to wrap that up in one episode, I would be bummed at least. Is it impossible? No, it's not impossible. I could definitely see the situation where Dwight dies. I'm hoping that he sticks around until season 8.
Okay, Josh, did you write anything for Hollywood Reporter about this week's episode?
I wrote a little bit about how Walking Dead and the comic books do not always line up. Very famously, that's the case. The show very actively tries to keep things different so that people who read the comic books cannot accurately predict Walking Dead, and that mostly works, although a lot of the big events, bigger story points often do line up, or at least when things are mixed up and changed around, there are like echoes of the comics.
What happened to Natanya?
Natanya's not in the comics.
What?
I know. It's very disappointing.
Such a rich character. It's hard to think they just made her up.
Rich Grimes. Yeah, I wanna see a Natanya comic book spinoff. I think that'd be great. Anyway,
yes.
There are a few things from this episode that did have echoes of the comics, so I wrote about that. And also, one major thing that is happening on the show right now that is completely different from the comics that I'm both sad and intrigued by. So those were the things I wrote about. I'm speaking about them vaguely. And if you are a fan of the comics or if you don't really care and you still want to read that stuff anyway, thr.com/walkingdead is the place to do it.
Okay. You can follow Josh on Twitter. He's at Round Howard. I'm at Rob Cesternino. Get your feedback questions in, because I think that there's a lot of interesting things that we can talk about heading into the finale of season number 7. It all started with Negan and the baseball bat. It all comes to a head once again.
Yes.
The season finale is next Sunday for The Walking Dead. TWD at postshowrecaps.com or go to postshowrecaps.com/voicemail. Josh, this was very fun to go through everything tonight.
Yeah, really great. Before we sign off, predictions for the finale. Will it be a better finale than last year? Will we walk away from season 7 happier than we walked away from season 6?
Yes, I believe so. I think
it's going to be pretty hard not to.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to end on some sort of nothing like last season. I don't think that we'll see people might be hoping that Negan is going to die in the season finale.
No way, I don't think that's happening. Yeah, I don't think so either.
And we'll see. I think we might lose some good guys, we'll lose some bad guys, and hopefully have something interesting, a little bit of a paradigm changer for the whole Negan-Rick situation.
Yep. Sounds about right.
All right. So looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments.
Do we have a hashtag?
What do you want to do?
Sasha Jenkins.
Great stuff. All right. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Take care. Bye.